this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
This morning, it's lovely to have you in the house of the Lord, our first service for 2016. Just want to especially extend a word of welcome to our visitors. If you are here this morning and you are visiting us for the first time, or it's your first time this morning in Shofar, Summers of the West, then just want to raise your hand. We'd love to just give you a little welcome pack where we give you some more detail. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Family from Namibia coming to visit. You guys are most welcome. From Walvis Bay. Thank you so much for being with us here this morning. And then welcome back from holiday. All of you guys, you look amazing. It's lucky to see all of you again. And then just for our parents, we do have a mother's room. The setup was sound and audio visual for you if you want to take your kids there. And we've got a DVD corner as well for some of the bigger kids if you can want to watch a DVD. This morning, I want to share a few thoughts with you. And as I share that right towards the end, we will do the offering and so forth. Just one announcement for those of you guys who are interested in our parenting course. We'll be starting again the last Wednesday of Jan, which is the 27th, I think, that last Wednesday in January. If you want more information, you're welcome to contact the office. But it's an amazing course. It's called Evergreen Parenting. And it's an incredible course where we knuckle down and we talk a little bit about the basics, how to establish good, godly families, how to raise our kids in a godly way, how to treat our spouses in a godly way, because our kids don't do what we tell them to do, they do what we show them. And so we spend a lot of time just understanding ourselves a little bit better, our spouses better, understanding our kids a little bit better. So I want to encourage you, if you have kids, you want to have kids, irrespective of the age, you're most welcome to join us for that. But this morning, if you, in your Bibles, if you can turn with me to Psalms, and I want to go to the first Psalm, which is a good place to start at the beginning of the year. And Nikki and the girls and myself, we've had a wonderful holiday. We were privileged and blessed enough to travel up towards Knysna, spent a few days there and up in the Elephant Park. We were a day there and went up to East London. Really had an amazing time. The Lord was so good to us. And I was just once again so overawed and impressed again by the beauty and the splendor of our country. We live in such a beautiful part of the world, such diversity, such beauty that the Lord has blessed us with. And we have a lot of challenges in our nation, but amen, we've got a beautiful nation as well. And we've got so much potential that's locked up in this nation of ours. And I want to encourage you, pray for our nation. Pray for what the Lord is wanting to do. Let's not fall into a cycle of negativity. Let's not just go with the flow and speak negatively and speak death, but let's get into the opposite spirit. Amen. Let's speak life. Let's remain the godly people God has called us to be. And right towards the end of our holiday, we went to a little town called Hogsback. I keep on saying Hogsback. Hogsback. Right on top of the Amatola Mountains. It's a beautiful, beautiful town. And we initially were going to go there and just take a short walk up to the waterfalls. And then as we spent some time there driving around, we discovered this road that was leading up into the mountains a little bit more. And then we decided, okay, we're actually going to go for a bit of a walk up this mountain as well. And I've got a, you can't see it too clearly there, but as we were walking, we came across these just beautiful trees that out there in the distance is Nikki, the taller one there, slightly taller than Annika. And then Annika there to her left. And we were confronted by these massive trees, just these splendid, majestic oaks that have been standing there for, I don't know, how many years. And as we were walking through the trees, we eventually climbed up this mountain. It was initially going to be, the littlest board said a quick 25-minute walk. But when you have a 4-year-old and a 8-year-old who don't really like walking too far, it takes a little bit longer. So we went up there with, at least I had my tennis shoes on, the rest had pluckies on, half a bottle of water. And those of you guys who know hiking, you know that's rather naive. But it was such a beautiful walk. It was hot. It was extremely hot. But you know what happened? As we started walking, we entered the shade. And just outside the perimeter of those trees, it was incredibly hot. It was scorching. But as soon as we entered the shade of those trees, it was as if you entered a different world. You entered a world of shade, a world of coolness, a world of incredible beauty. And as we were walking up and we got to the top, and it was absolutely worth it getting to the top, the Lord just began to speak to me about the beauty of trees and the significance of trees and why the psalmist starts off the book of Psalms talking about trees and the splendor and the beauty of trees. And so this morning I wanna chat to us about a tale of two trees, because in scripture, right at the beginning, you remember Genesis, it speaks about these two trees, doesn't it? The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And mankind forsook the tree of life because it was going to be life according to God's way, trusting Him, living in dependence upon Him versus independence. So the tree of the knowledge of good and evil speaks about that spirit of independence, that thing inside of our hearts that says, I'm going to do it my own way. Once a year or so, I buy Men's Health. What a dangerous thing for a Christian to buy Men's Health sometimes. But I buy the magazine because I hope every year, I hope that there'll be something different in it this time than was in it last beginning of the year. And normally it's simply called the comeback issue, isn't it, Kurt? How to recover from all the nonsense of 2015 and eating too much and drinking too much, and how to have your best body ever. How to get any woman you want, how to get the promotion you want, and it's all about doing things your way. It's all about how to get ahead in life the quickest way you possibly can, and that's the spirit of the world. How to be a better me, how to be a greater me. And in scripture, we see that David starts off, and he speaks about a lifestyle. When he talks about this tree, he's speaking about a specific way of living. And let me read those first three verses for us. He says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning that as we come to you, God, and we stand in the beginning of this year, Lord, many of us have thought about our plans and we've thought a little bit about our goals for this year, maybe, God, and things we would like to do differently to 2015. But God, irrespective of where we are, whether we have new resolutions or goals or whether we don't, and whether we live with an expectation or whether we just live day to day, God, we know that you have a desire and a dream for each one of us. God, you have good plans and good thoughts for us. God, we don't have to imagine plans. We don't have to suck plans out of our thumb. We don't have to get our ideas and our desires from the world, God, but we can tap into your heart and know that you have got a resolution, so to speak, for us. You have a desire, an intense desire for us, and that is that we will prosper wherever we go this year. That we will be like this tree that David speaks about that carries its fruit and its leaves and just points the finger towards you, who's amazing and glorious. God, I pray for our hearts this morning, for the soil of our hearts, that you would come, Holy Spirit, and that you would soften our hearts, that you will come, that you will plant the seeds in our hearts that you have destined to be planted this morning in the name of Jesus. And David here in this verse, he makes a contrast. He starts off and he says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Then he speaks about sitting, he speaks about standing, he speaks about walking. And that deals with our identity, it deals with our peace, and it deals with our purpose. And he speaks about people who find their entire life wrapped up around certain things. He speaks about the wicked, speaks about sinners, he speaks about mockers. He speaks about not a casual glance here or there at things that are not from God, not a temporal temptation. He speaks about a lifestyle, literally sitting, standing, walking, your entire life that's wrapped up around a lifestyle that is contrary to God. And it says that the righteous man isn't like that. The righteous man's lifestyle isn't, he doesn't sit apart from God. He doesn't find his peace apart from God. He doesn't walk apart from God. He doesn't stand apart from God. Everything about him, whether he's going on holiday, whether he's coming to work, whether he's watching the cricket, or whether he's changing the nappy, whatever it is that he or she is doing, it is wrapped up in the life of God. It's not separate from God at all. And then he goes on and he says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. You know, and nowadays we sort of have a very negative perception about the law of God. We're like, we need to get away from the law, and the law is bad. And that is not the way that David looked at the law, is it? It says that his delight was in the law of God. And the only reason why we fear the law of God is because we misunderstand it. And Jesus came, and Jesus came to explain the law, didn't he? He said, you can sum the entire law up in this. It's to love the Lord your God with everything that you have, and to love those around you like yourself. And says that is the full essence of the law of God. And this is what David says. If we delight ourselves in loving God, if we can look at our year plan, we can look at our journals, we can look at our goals and our objectives, and we can measure all of them based on these two criteria. Loving God more, loving people more. If our goals and our plans and our objectives, if somehow or another they don't flow into and out of that desire to love God more and to love people more, then I want to hold before us that we are missing the plot. That we are actually cutting ourselves off from the life that God has for us. Because this life, this water, this river that is flowing from the throne of God flows into us to enable us to love Him more. And then that word delight is an interesting one. And it speaks about that thing that gives you the greatest joy. What is it that gives you a glisten in the eye? The thing that makes your heart leap. A few months ago, I might have told you the story already. I can't always remember what I tell you. But we went to the museum for the first time. And it was so amazing to see Katie's response. The museum in Cape Town. We came walking up to the museum doors, and I don't know what your perception is of a museum. I don't know whether you delight yourself in going to museums when it's something that makes you incredibly excited. And when I think of museums, I used to think of it as a dreary place and a boring place, and it's okay going there from time to time. But we got there, and Katie was like, oh, my first day at the museum. I can't believe it. She was so excited because a few weeks before she had watched One Night at the Museum, or Night at the Museum, something like that. So she was so excited. She was going to see the dinosaurs and all of these fossils coming to life. And it was an amazing experience looking at this museum through her eyes. And she was finding delight in something which the rest of us just were vaguely interested in. And then there's something about a heart that is tuned into God who can find delight in every day. Who can find delight in the most adverse of circumstances, in the most mundane, the most mediocre of circumstances. A heart that is tuned into God's heart can find delight in everything. But when we are not tuned into God, life becomes heavy, becomes difficult. Very often it just becomes run-of-the-mill stuff. And I believe God this year, 2016, is wanting this year to be a year of adventure. Is wanting this year to be a year of great joy, where we find delight in Him. And when we delight in Him, it doesn't matter where we are, because we are planted in Him. It doesn't matter whether we're in Pretoria or in Somerset West or Timbuktu. It doesn't matter whether our lives take us to Thailand or wherever it takes us. Our delight is in Him. Because it is in Him, we can have this fruit, this prosperity that this verse speaks about. So I'm going to challenge you at the beginning of this year, and I want to encourage you as well. Have another look at your year, 2016. Have another look at your planning. Have another look at your expectations. Because God's expectation of you is to prosper. Is, as the word says, is to be like the tree that is planted by the streams. Because as we discovered as we were walking through that mountain, a tree that is planted by the stream is an amazing thing. Because it provides comfort, it provides shade, and it is green all the time. a tree. We know in our country nowadays, the drought that we're going through. So I think all of us, and what was amazing as we were walking there, we started off with half a bottle of water. And I realized, look, 25 minutes probably is a bit of a miscalculation. It's probably going to take us about an hour, 40 minutes at least to get there, and then 40 minutes back. And suddenly you start looking differently at half a bottle of water. Suddenly you start thinking, okay, who's going to drink first, and how much is that person going to drink? And you start valuing that thing again that previously you just took in your stride. And I believe God is bringing us as a nation, and I love the prayer that Lisa prayed this morning. He's bringing us through the spiritual drought and even through the physical drought to a place where we again begin to appreciate the things that are important. Family. The preciousness of God's house. And I'm gonna chat to you a little bit about what are the kinds of soil that we need to cultivate this year. In your planning, in your goal setting. Because the Bible speaks about one tree, a blessed tree, a prospering tree, a tree like Abraham, like Isaac, like Jacob. It didn't matter where they were. It didn't matter whether the people around them liked them or not. It didn't matter whether Lot chose the best piece of land for his cattle. It didn't matter whether the enemies came and they blocked up their wells. It didn't matter what the people around them did. They prospered. They blossomed. Why? Because they were accessing the river, the life of God through faith. They believed God when he said, I want you to be a blessing. I want to bless you so you can bless others. And when we talk about prospering, we are talking about carrying fruit. Having fruit so when people can come to our lives, they can taste of our lives, they can take a bite out of Heinrich, they can take a bite out of Eric, and they can taste something of God. They can come into contact with us as we drop off our kids at school, as we go for the job interview, as we have our marketing plan reviewed. Whatever it is that we are doing, people can come into contact with us when we... Any of you guys here are going to whip some grade eights? Whenever you walk with them, there's a different spirit that you carry. And that little grade eight knows there's something different about this guy. There's a place of safety with him. There's a different spirit. And that is what I believe God is holding before us as we go into this year. A year of prosperity. A year of bearing fruit. A year of people tasting of our lives and saying, wow, that is good stuff. That is lekker. That is delicious. The other tree, however, is a little bit different. And we need to have a look at that very quickly. It's in Job, the 8th chapter, verse 11 to 13. And Job asks this question. He says, can papyrus grow tall where there is no marsh? Can reeds thrive without water? While still growing and uncut, they wither more quickly than grass. Such is the destiny of all who forget God. And so perishes the hope of the godless. And so he speaks here about another tree, a tree that is cut off from the life of God. A tree that, and it's a bit of a rhetorical question that he's asking. He says, if there isn't water around this reed, can it thrive? Can it really flourish? Can it really grow tall? Look at that first verse there. He says, can papyrus grow tall where there is no marsh? Can reeds thrive without water? Then he goes on and says something interesting. While still growing. So in other words, there is life there, isn't it? There's a little bit of life there. It's still growing. But that life doesn't reach its full potential. It starts off well. Like many New Year's resolutions do. The beginning of the year. It's the best time for gyms, I think. Kurt, you were in the gymming industry at one stage, I think. And people make lots of money. Moolah, January. Because they ride on the New Year resolutions of people. And so many people start off well and they start off strong. But the tree doesn't grow tall. The reed doesn't reach its full maturity. Why? Because after a while it withers. The sun comes. The pressure comes. The opposition comes. The temptations come. And you and I know 2015 had its share of harsh sunlight, opposition, resistance. But God is saying to us, it doesn't matter what the opposition is. The key is not found in the externals. The key isn't found in the bigger home. The key isn't found in the job that pays more. The key isn't found in the degree that's different or more fulfilling. The key is found in the internal thing, the thing that's a little bit underneath the surface. Because Job goes on there in the next verse and he says, it's like a well-watered plant in the sunshine, spreading its shoots over the garden. It entwines its roots around a pile of rocks and looks for a place among the stones. But when it is torn from its spot, that place disowns it and says, I never saw you. And it says there's water, there's sunlight, but there's something that's missing with this tree. And that is that this tree tries to sink its roots into soil that is hard. There's this man that forgets God, this man that tries to go into his marriage, tries to go into his business, tries to go into raising his kids, tries to go into whatever it is that he's planning outside of the life of God, is like a well-watered plant. He's got the water. He's got the sunshine. He's got everything at his disposal. He's got all the books, all the access to the motivational YouTube clips, all the music, all the trappings this world has to offer. He's got everything. But there's something that's missing. And that is that his roots never sink deep into the ground. It says his roots are spreading his shoots over the garden. But then his roots get entwined around a pile of rocks. And then he looks for a place among the stones. It's watered. Gets the water. Gets the sunlight. But it's not planted in the right place. And then he says something happens. When it is torn from its spot through the wind and opposition that comes, that place disowns it. That place where it was trying to sink its roots into disowns it and says, I never saw you. In other words, it's as if it was never there. It was just gone. And I believe that God is wanting to hold before us a different way of living. What you see there is what happens so often when we try to live life our own way. We put in a lot of effort. That tree tried its best, sends out its roots to find entrance into the soil. But the pressure comes, the wind comes, it gets plucked up, and the ground is like, you were never even here. There's no legacy. There's no fragrance that gets left behind. There's no memory of godliness. There's no change that took place. And God wants us, as we go into this year, that after we've left a room, or after we've left a meeting, or after we've left a business transaction or a course that we've studied, God wants there to be a fragrance that's left behind. God wants there to be fruit that's left behind. And how do you do that? Because I believe that as we go into this year, we need to trust the Lord to, again, help us to have a look at our soil. To make sure that our soil isn't filled with stones, that we don't put in a lot of effort here on the surface, try our best to accomplish things, but we're trying a lot in the wrong place. A few days ago, my brothers and I, we were playing tennis in Stellenbosch, and afterwards we took a picture, the three of us, and we're contemplating, shall we put this on Facebook or not? I'm like, no, we shall not put this on Facebook yet. There are still a few things we want to achieve physically. Because we took a little video of ourselves as well, and we were playing, and you know what happens when you play? You play, and you're like, in the moment, this feels good, man. You're hitting fast, and you're running all the place. And then we look at the video, and it all looked very slow motion. I'm like, whoa, you know, that felt like a lot of effort. That felt like we were going for it. But in reality, in comparison to, I had a little clip there that I showed them, Agassi against Sampras many years ago. It just looked like, no, it felt so intimidating. And very often, we put in a lot of effort. We put in a lot of motion, but we're actually living in slow motion because there are a few keys that we are missing. And I believe God doesn't want 2016 to be a year of a lot of effort. He's not wanting this year to be a year of us trying harder, sweating more, training more. He's wanting this year to be a year of fruit. He's wanting this year to be a year of providing shade for people around us. Because you know what I discovered as we were walking up there? If there had only been one tree on that mountain, one beautiful, majestic tree, we would have been forced to just stand underneath that tree. We would not have gone up that mountain. But the fact that there were many of those trees providing lots of shade, I saw this beautiful picture of what God wants us to be like. Because we're going to come across people who come into our lives with half a bottle of water. Half a bottle of hope. Maybe a quarter, maybe a tenth percentage of hope left in their hearts. A little bit of faith. Maybe lots of bitterness. We don't know what people are carrying into our lives. But what we do know is the shade that God can provide through us. Can cause them to come to a place where they can be inspired to go just a little bit further. Just a little bit further so you can get to the top and you can see the perspective of God's love. You can see that God isn't finished with you yet. God hasn't given up on you. He hasn't given up on your marriage. He hasn't given up on your future. He hasn't given up on your dream to have a child. He is for you, not against you. And we as believers, we can be that forest of trees. But then we need to make sure that we are planted in the right soil. So very quickly, I want to run through four different types of soil. The soil of the kingdom, the soil of the local house, the soil of the word, the soil of the spirit, and then finish off in the soil of resurrection. Bear with me, I won't keep you here too long. Mark 4 verse 32, Jesus speaking, he says, again, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. And this is my first encouragement to you, my first exhortation to you, is to evaluate again, are you planted in the kingdom? And to come back to that place, and I believe for all of us, that's the truth. You are a kingdom child. You're not a South African first. You're not a Samus the West person first. You're not what you do first. You're not the language that you speak first. Your future doesn't depend upon the economy or on the politics or upon your background. Your future depends on the fact that you are part of this irrepressible, always growing, always expanding, ever overcoming kingdom of God. And you can base your hope and your confidence for this year in the fact that you are part of a kingdom. Not a democracy, not an organization, not an NGO. You're part of a kingdom where there's a king who has a very specific agenda and plan and purpose for your life. And you have been grafted into the kingdom. You are an ambassador of the king. You have a purpose. You have a legacy. You're part of a kingdom that started off so small, like a little mustard seed a few weeks after Jesus spoke this word. That kingdom consisted of its founder hanging on a tree, all his best friends having run away, and he's left with one out of the 12 and a few ladies. That's the way that kingdom started. And yet, whether it was Rome or Soviet Russia or whatever other kingdom that ever came against that kingdom has overcome. You are part of that kingdom. That is what lives in your DNA. You're not someone who's just trying to get by. You're not someone who's just trying and hoping that this year will be a different year. You are part of something supernatural. And as we go into this year, we need to remind ourselves, I am more than the sum total of my effort. I am more than the legacy that has been given to me by my parents. I am more than the job where I'm working. I am more than the fact that I'm living in Somerset West, living in a specific nation with all of its challenges. I am more than all of those things. I am supernatural. Because I'm part of a supernatural kingdom and there's something living in my heart that is God-breathed, that is divine. And unless we remind ourselves of that, nobody else is going to do it. Your boss probably is not going to do it. If you have a boss like that who welcomes you at work with that encouragement, welcome, child of God, I believe in you. You can do impossible things. Hold on to that job. If you are a boss, welcome the people who works for you that way. There is something supernatural living in us. And you have to sink your roots down deep in that knowledge, in that revelation. I am born of God. I am part of something that started out small, and yet today is the most powerful force at work on the face of the earth. So here's my other encouragement to you. Some of you just need to start this year. Just start. Because inside of the kingdom of God lives the potential, lives the creative power to give birth to things. Don't allow fear to hold you back from starting. Taking up the guitar, taking up the drums, taking up whatever it is, that new thing that you need to do, the scuba diving or whatever it is. Starting, just reaching out to people, writing a letter of encouragement or forgiveness or repentance. Just start it. Doesn't matter how small it looks. All of life starts with this little seed. Don't get swayed. Don't get discouraged because your life feels small this morning. Maybe you wanted the beginning of 2016 to be more spectacular. Maybe your year didn't start with fireworks and didn't start with whole lots of people applauding you. You sort of just stumbled into the year. God knows about you. God knows, and He knows the seed that is living inside of you. And that seed is supernatural. And I want you to hold on to the fact that the soil underneath you, the soil that you have to sink your hope and your faith into, is that you are part of a kingdom, part of a King who loves you, who has a purpose for your life. For some of you, at the end of the service, we're going to pray for you. We're going to ask God to allow you to sink your roots into that soil again, to come back to the soil, to kneel down and say, I am a kingdom child. I'm not a Titus first. I'm not a Somerset West guy first. I'm not a PV person first. Whatever my background is, I'm a kingdom person. And God's kingdom is working and advancing in my life. The second soil I trust the Lord that we will all be planted in is the soil of the house of God. Psalms 92 verse 12 says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree, and they will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. The cedar of Lebanon were the trees that Solomon used to build the temple. All the woodwork in Solomon's temple was from those trees, beautiful, majestic trees. They are planted in the house of the Lord, and they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in Him. A few days ago, I had the privilege, the last day of 2015, with my two brothers and I and our dad, we sat down and we took communion and we just prayed for the year to come. And I was just so encouraged by him towards the latter part of his year. But he's got that spur that Caleb had that said, I'm stronger than what I was 40 years ago in my faith. That there's something about being planted in the house of God. There's something about a strengthening that we find there where we choose, not because we have to, but because we want to be connected to one another. It's easier not to be connected to people very often. Because when you're here, you have to deal with so much stuff, don't you? You have to deal with people who are different than you, who think differently, have different desires, have different opinions on the worship or on the preaching or all sorts of different things. But God says there's a blessing when we are planted. In other words, when we say, this soil is my soil. I'm sinking my roots down deep and I'm going to stay here. I'm going to allow my roots to go down deep so I can get the nourishment. And that verse there speaks about the house of the Lord, but it also speaks about the courts of God. It says, if you are planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of our God. And I went to read up on that a little bit, and they speak about the fact that the courts of God talk about God's dominion, speaks about God's rule, speaks about God's purpose. In the courts of God, it's where God makes the decrees, where He declares what is going to happen. And it is there where Isaiah gets his call, who shall go for us? It's in the courts of God, where He gets purpose and He gets released. And so that there's this connection between our purpose in God, which is intimately connected to our staying in the house of God. So if you are planted in the house of God, together we can flourish in the courts of God. Together we can accomplish God's purposes. Together we will rub shoulder. Together we will have to cut certain things off. Together we will have to make room for one another. Together sometimes we have to realize I'm crowding somebody else's space in. I'm all over them and I've got to give them a little bit more space. While I'm drinking up all the water, I've got to give some to them a little bit as well. I've got to encourage them. I've got to say to them, look, it's going to get better. I know the 6 months without water feels like an eternity, but hang on, the seasons do change. We are in this thing together. And my heart's cry for us this year is that we would allow our roots to go down deep in the house of God. But God's promise is, if you are planted in His house, if you just stay in your heart. Doesn't talk about the externals, talks about our heart. God will make sure that you flourish. You don't just survive, you don't just get by, but you flourish in the house of the Lord. So for some of us at the end of the service, we will pray together and we will trust the Lord. And maybe your roots were hurt. And the house of God doesn't represent a place of comfort, a place of peace, a place of joy. We want to come, we want to pray with you. We want to ask God to give you hope again, to have your roots go down deep into that soil. The third soil is the soil of the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, So I say then, Paul speaking to the church in Galatia, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not free to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If we go on, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we talk about flourishing, when we talk about bearing fruit, there are many different kinds of fruit we can talk about. But I believe that from God's perspective, what God is looking for is the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit can be independent from your bank balance, can be independent from your happiness at work, that there is something God desires from us. And it makes it clear, it says, the fruit I'm looking for is gentleness. In a world where everybody's out to just get what they want and to do whatever they want, I want you to demonstrate gentleness, kindness. I want you to demonstrate goodness. I want you to demonstrate joy. It doesn't come from external things, but comes from the inside. And the only way that can happen is if we are planted in the Spirit. The Lord just again came to challenge me personally. Heinrich, how deeply are you connected to my Spirit? How deeply are you drinking from the Spirit? As you're speaking in tongues, you're singing in the Spirit, or whatever it is that the sum total of you living in the Spirit? Or are you living in dependency, sitting, walking, standing in the Spirit? And that means that very often God will ask us to do silly things. Things that don't make sense in your mind. Last night, Annika came to me and she's like, I can't fall asleep. It's hot and I'm lying awake. And I asked her, if you ask the Holy Spirit, why are you still awake? Maybe there's someone that you should be praying for. But how would I know? Just ask him. Whatever comes into your mind, you start praying that. 5 minutes later, she was asleep. There was something that just looked like sleeplessness to her, but there was actually something the Holy Spirit was wanting to chat to her about. And for so many of us, right in the middle of our frustration, there's the voice of the Spirit of God. Right in the middle of that thing right now that is challenging you and that is frustrating you, ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to say to me? Because here's the beauty of the Spirit of God. He's always speaking. We're not always listening, but the Shepherd is always speaking to us. And my desire for us is that this year we will be rooted when we evaluate our goals, when we evaluate our prayers and our objectives, that we will be rooted in the Spirit. And we'll say, Holy Spirit, come and show me what is in your heart for my family. Come and show me what's in your heart for my church. Come and show me what is in your heart for the company I'm working for my neighborhood, for my neighbors. And the Holy Spirit will be faithful. He's got a much greater desire to reveal himself to us than what we are to hear from him. Ask him. He will show you. He's the faithful helper that will show us. Then lastly there, the soil that I'm trusting the Lord, and each one of us will be planted in. So we're planted in the kingdom, planted in the house of God, planted in the Spirit of God. Not doing things our own way. It's planted in the soil of resurrection. Planted in the knowledge that there's a power that lives inside of us that is truly magnificent and truly awesome. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. And I believe for us in this year, it's important for us to, we're going to take communion right now. It's important for us to look at the soil of the knowledge of the resurrection of God again. Because somewhere down the line in this year, you and I will be confronted with things that do not want to come alive. Things that do not want to flourish. Things that do not want to look green. Things that want to say to us, I am dead. You do not have it in you to bring me back to life. Whether it is hope or a joy or an excitement or an ability to forgive or an ability to repent or an ability to bear fruit, somewhere down the line, you and I will be confronted with death, whatever shape or form. And it's important for us to know that inside of us, we have this promise that there's the hope of resurrection. And I do this very often when I'm confronted with my failures or my weaknesses. I remind the devil of his future. I remind him there will come a day when I will be resurrected into the image of God. My girls nowadays, we're having to explain to them what happens when your body dies, but you go to heaven or hell if there's a choice that you have made. And the concept of your body that stays behind, but the real you just continues. And there's this, and what will you look like? Will you be as small as you are now, as young as you are now, or as old? What will you look like? There are many things we don't know, but what we do know is we will have a perfect, pain-free, sin-free body that God gives us. That one day, all of the struggles, all of the weaknesses, all of those things will be wiped away, and we will be like Christ. That is my greatest hope. That is what I anchor my hope in. I don't anchor my hope in the fact that 2016 will be a better year than 2015. Because that can be true in one sense, or it cannot be true in another sense. I anchor my hope in the fact that God's resurrection power is at work, and that He has breathed life upon me. I was once dead, incapable of reaching out to God, doomed to a life of destruction and trying to figure out my life, until God came, breathed upon me, and changed me. And one day, even all my friends with whom I have disagreements and people have walked away from my life, from church, one day all of us, as long as we hold on to Christ, will stand in front of Him and we will worship Him together. And we will be reconciled. And we will forget about these things that have separated us here on earth. One day, things will be changed forever. That is the hope that we have to keep on coming back to. Because we will be challenged here on earth with things that want to keep us bogged down in the temporal. And so my prayer for us is that we this morning would come and all of our goals, all of our objectives, that we will wrap them up and we will say, God, I want to plant each one of them. I want to plant my goal to be a better father firmly within the soil of the kingdom of God. I say that my being a better father is being defined by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's my King. And therefore, even though it's tough and even though it's difficult, I know He's going to give me the strength to do it. My goal to be a better father, I plant that right in the middle of the soil of the house of God, knowing that there are people around me that can help me. People to whom I have to walk in accountability. Older people that can speak into my life. And when I don't know, I can ask for help. And I can welcome the input into my life. Guys who can say to me, I know it's tough, but you can do this. Guys who can ask me honest questions. I can plant my goal to be a better father firmly in the soil of the Spirit and know that in my own strength, I suck a lot of the time being a better dad. I'm impatient and I, especially when I watch cricket and we don't do well, I'm not the best person to hang around with, but if I'm planted in the Spirit, I can bring that to God and say, God, help me to transcend my emotions. Help me to live beyond the cricket score and to be in the moment when my little girl wants to build a little house and play with her dinosaurs, and that I'm there, not distracted. I can find my hope. It's not by might, not by power, not by reading another book, by trying harder, but by being in the place where the Spirit of God can breathe through me. And when I'm planted firmly in the Word of God, and it's the one that I just want to end off with, Lawrence, if you can go to, the one that speaks about Jesus Christ coming. But the Word of God is the soil that I believe the Lord is also holding me for us. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the way for us to make sure that our soil is good and healthy is to prioritize the Word of God above all else this year. Again, just start. Whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just start. Say, God, I'm giving you these next 5 minutes. I'm giving you these next 30 minutes. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, show me Jesus. Connect me to the river of life again so that you can flow through me. And so as we have, Lawrence, if you can just put up that slide that has all five of them. I want us to stand and I want us just to have a look at that. We're going to have communion now. So let's just stand. And what I'm going to ask you to do is that you would come and we have the communion elements at the front. I want to ask you to take a piece of bread and take the wine and just to take someone who's sitting next to you and just to trust the Holy Spirit to, in your own heart, just show you where's the soil. Just one. Just choose one. Where's the soil where I need to dig a little bit deeper? Where's the soil that maybe I've extended my roots outside of the kingdom of God. I've forgotten I'm part of a kingdom. In other words, my life is purpose and meaning inside of the kingdom of God. I've forgotten there's a king who has a purpose for my life, and I've allowed other people to define my life, or my fears to define me, or my desire to be significant to define me. But this morning, I just come back and I realize I need to sink my roots down deep in the kingdom. Or maybe I need to sink my roots down deep in this house, or if you're visiting us, the house where you come from. Or whether in the spirit, maybe you've been relying upon your own strength a lot and you need to come back just to the spirit of God. Whatever it is, you would share that with the person next to you, and we would pray for each other. And we would pray the resurrection power and say, it doesn't matter how hard things feel right now. It doesn't matter what your goals are. That there's resurrection power. That your flourishing this year depends upon this one fact. Do you have water flowing into your life? Do you have water flowing into your soil? It doesn't depend on your emotions. It doesn't depend on what people are saying about you. It doesn't depend upon the size of your church or your small group or the size of your bank balance. It depends on whether you are planted in good soil, where you have water and where you have sunlight. God has given us everything, saints. Everything this year to prosper. There's no good thing that He will withhold from us this year. He's a good God. Amen. He wants us to flourish. But He doesn't want us to be blown about by the wind. He wants us to have our roots sink down deep into Him. And the kingdom of God is a kingdom with where we give, we receive. And so as we're going to come forward and we're going to take part of the communion, I also want to ask you to prayerfully consider just what is it that the Lord has placed in your heart to give this morning. At the beginning of the year, it's the first fruit. I know many of us have already given our tithes and our offerings electronically, but this morning, maybe just a commitment that you need to make to the Lord. Say, God, I'm giving you, if this is 5 rand or this 100 rand note, whatever it is in my heart, I'm giving this to you and I'm sowing this as a seed into this year. Say, I'm wanting my life. As I'm giving this, I'm desiring that my life will be planted in good soil. My life will be planted in good soil. Let's just close our eyes. Father, I thank you that right now, God, you've just shown me that there are some of us, Lord, and we feel that our marriage is not good soil. It just feels hard. It feels like we don't find, we're not having the ability to just have our roots sink deep, and we feel as if we're going to be plucked up very quickly. We feel uprooted in a sense, God. And I pray now just for your perspective, and I pray your resurrection power, Lord, in the name of Jesus, over those marriages, God. In Jesus' name, we declare, Lord God, that each one of our marriages, Lord God, it's good soil. It's good soil, God, and that you will enable us in this year to come and to uproot the weeds and those things that are strangling the life. We speak your resurrection power. We speak your life-giving power over those marriages. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I thank you, Lord God, that you are coming and you are resurrecting hope for this year. Lord, this assignment of loneliness, Lord God, over since 2 or 3 people here this morning. God, I thank you that this morning through the power of your spirit, Lord God, that you break that cycle of loneliness in Jesus' name, that spirit of isolation that is, I just have this picture of this chain that is wrapped around someone's ankle, but it's not as if it's wrapped around, it's almost like it's embedded in your bone, in the bone of your leg. And the Lord is through His Spirit coming, He's like this laser coming and is performing this operation that is setting you free. And there where the chain found its entrance, there's a healing and a strengthening of the bone. It's right around your ankle. And I see you just walking with 2 or 3 like these Lego blocks on top of your shoulders. And the Lord says that He has called you to carry a weight of building in His house, a weight of, and you are walking into this building right throughout a lot of rooms and right into as if you're walking into the inner court, the inner sanctuary, a safe place, a holy place, a special place. And the Lord says that as often as you felt lonely, as often as you felt isolated, as often as you felt being drawn back into the darkness of depression, the Lord says, I've called you to bring precious stones into my house. I've called you to bring precious stones into my presence and to receive. I see you walking out of the presence of God with this golden cup with this crystal clear water that when people drink it, it tastes sweet. It tastes like, it's like honey. And the Lord says that I've given you the calling to come into my presence and to go forth from my presence with life-giving water. And God, I thank you, Lord God, that those of us struggling with the lies that we do not belong in this house, or we do not belong in this year, even we don't belong even in this in this life, God, thank you that you uproot those lies this morning in Jesus' name. God, that you come with the power of your Spirit and you bring a release, my God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the freedom, Lord, and for the healing in this place, in the name of Jesus. So right now, I want to encourage you, band, if you guys can just come and just play for us. Come just forward and partake of the communion. You on my left and both sides of the stage. Grab a piece of bread, grab some wine, and just take someone by the hand, maybe back to your seat, and just say, I just want you to pray with me. This is what I sense the Lord is saying to me and what is holding before me. This is one piece of my life. I just need to submit to the Lord. And then just trust the Holy Spirit to pray a prayer of blessing over that person's heart. Amen. So let's go for it. Your right or your left, you can choose. You can choose either one. And spend a few minutes just praying for one another. You'll see there are holders at the front, bucket, baskets for the offering. You want to put it in there, you can do it now. You can do it at the end of the service, whenever you're ready. It's the free will offering as the Lord lays it on your heart. Just do it in faith. Take hold of someone. Just really sense the Lord is wanting to stir such faith in our hearts. I want you to see this picture just of these trees coming together and just locking arms together. Providing the shade, strengthening each other. The Lord is really going to bless you as you pray for one another this morning. Give you perspective, bring you release. There's a word in your heart that your brother, your sister, your friend needs this morning. So do it in faith. Jesus said that when we break bread, when we drink the wine, we celebrate Him. We celebrate His provision. This year depends on the fact that God is with us. The word came this morning. He says He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. So bring January. Bring whatever it is that's on your heart. Bring that. Maybe there's something broken. Something you're afraid of. Just be open. Say, Father, I bring this before you and my brother, my sister. Allow that person just to pray for you. Amen. Those of you continuing praying, you're welcome to continue praying. Don't have to stop it. It's the end of our service. Lord bless you. Have an amazing, amazing day.